The scripture this morning is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is the one, and besides him, there is no other. And to love him with all your heart, with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any questions." For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
You know, I sometimes give people books that have meant a lot to me. That's one of my favorite gifts. And the one that I have given more than any other is a book called To Bless the Space Between Us by the late Irish priest and poet John O'Donohue. It's a lovely volume of blessings for many occasions, and they tend to be very evocative blessings, evocative of what the Spirit is doing both within us and among us. And O'Donohue defines a blessing as a circle of light that is drawn around a person to protect, to heal, and to strengthen. And I would also add that the act of blessing involves the transfer of love from one person to another. You know, for more than a decade, I've used one of O'Donohue's blessings whenever I inter the body or the ashes of one of our members. And that blessing is called On Passing a Graveyard. May perpetual light shine upon the faces of all who rest here. May the lives they lived unfold further in spirit. May all their past travails find ease in the kindness of clay. May the remembering earth mind every memory they brought. May the rains from the heavens fall gently upon them. May the wildflowers and the grasses whisper their wishes into light. May we reverence the village of presence in the stillness of this silent field." Those words of blessing are etched onto a standing stone at the entrance to our memorial garden, and they may cause those who go out to our memorial garden to offer words of blessing to all whose remains are here with us at Plymouth. O'Donohue writes, "In the parched deserts of modernity and postmodernity, a blessing can be like the discovery of a fresh well. It would be lovely if we could all rediscover our power to bless one another. I believe each one of us can bless. When a blessing is invoked, it changes the atmosphere. And for me, that atmospheric change is steeped in self-giving love for another, for the person who receives the blessing. And I agree that we, each one of us, do have the power to bless and to empower one another. And you don't have to be an ordained minister to bless others. And yes, we do so at the end of every service when one of us stands up and we offer a benediction, which is a blessing on you. In fact, the word benedictus in Latin is the word for blessed. And we also ask for God's blessing on animals, as we did about a month or so ago in our annual service outdoors. And we bless things as well. You know, when most of us bless a meal before we eat, and every Sunday when we gather the offering and we bring it forward with song, we put the offering on what is, for all intents and purposes, an altar, even though we call it a communion table. And then together we say words of blessing. You know, in some traditions, only the minister or the priest blesses the offering. But when I came to Plymouth, I shifted that litany so that it's something that we all do together in worship. You know, when I was doing my field work in divinity school with the Franciscan AIDS Ministry in Denver, I became acquainted with the writings of a brilliant Jesuit from India named Anthony de Mello. I also want it to be noted that this is the second Catholic priest I have quoted in a Reformation Sunday sermon. He had the amazing ability to spin quips and aphorisms, as Jesus did, that really turned things upside down. And one of the things he said that really made me stop and think is that we sanctify whatever we're grateful for. In other words, we make holy whatever we're thankful for. Think about that in your own life. What are you grateful for, and how does your sense of gratitude sanctify it or make it holy? Will you spend a minute with me and close your eyes if you wish? And just think about what you are grateful for. And be intentional about asking for God's blessing upon those people or things or aspects of your very existence. We sanctify whatever we are grateful for. We might just as well say that we consecrate whatever we're grateful for. The Oxford English Dictionary defines the verb consecrate this way: to set apart as sacred, to dedicate solemnly to a sacred or religious purpose, or to give a sacramental character by performing the appropriate rite. You know, and in a few minutes we'll do just that, bringing our offerings and our pledge cards forward, putting them in a basket, and then together we will ask for God's blessing on them. You know, it's the same sort of thing that we do when we celebrate communion. I or one of my colleagues set the elements apart. They're not just bread or wine or grape juice. We've set them apart. And we've dedicated them to a sacred purpose. It's not that something magical happens. It's something intentional. So in consecrating our offerings and our pledges, we're setting aside a portion of our wealth, which is the stored energy of our labor, and we're dedicating that portion to the mission and ministry of the church. You know, I think sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of the idea that money is stored energy. And what we're doing as we pledge is to share some of that stored energy to further the realm of God in our time and place. And each of us has a certain amount of stored energy, and today we gather as God's people to bless it, to sanctify it, to consecrate it. And the act of setting it aside and asking for God's blessing makes it both materially and spiritually distinctive from, say, what we give to our alma mater or what we give to National Public Radio. You know, turning back to Jesus and his interrogative conversation with one of the scribes that you heard in today's reading, what does it mean in tangible terms, to acknowledge that God alone is God, and that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, one of the ways that that plays out for me is the idea that we ourselves are to be a blessing. We're meant to be living, loving wells that gush and pour out fresh, clear water for God's world. And I see you doing that by visiting those who are sick, by standing up for immigrants and refugees, by sleeping out for people who are experiencing homelessness, by listening to those who need counsel, by creating a home for nonprofits like PFLAG in Laodamas and Prairie Mountain Zendo and AA and Neighbor to Neighbor. I was thinking this week of one of our late members, Bob Calkins, who was a, yes, there were some ahs, who was a very wise retired psychiatrist. And he would always challenge me when I got into theology that maybe was a little more abstract than it needed to be. And he would always say to me, "Hal, it's all about love." And I have a feeling that Jesus would agree with Bob. It's all about love. It's about the love of God, the love of neighbor, the love of self. It's about being a blessing. I think offering a blessing is an expression of the love of God, an expression of the love of neighbor, an expression of the love of self. Interestingly, though, none of us just gives a blessing. We're also recipients of being blessed by God. And we're also the recipients of being blessed by those who are around us and those who have gone before us. And when we focus on the blessings we've received, it often results in gratitude. And then it turns sort of like a Mobius strip. It turns back on itself such that we've been loved and blessed, and so we in turn want to love and to bless others, and the process continues and continues and continues. I count myself as blessed to be in this community, which does so much to love and to bless others, not just here at Plymouth, but beyond the four walls of this congregation. You are a blessing. Thank you. And bless you. Amen.